Hey there, welcome back to the Church Acts podcast. I have a lot of really incredible things that I've been waiting to share. Very, very excited to actually share and talk about with you. Things that I think are really going to help you start things strong when we all come off of what has hopefully been a great summer. I want to still get into margin, actually, like I spoke about last time on the show. I think I might even make that an annual thing because it has been helping so many people. And even so much has changed and can change throughout the years. Like, I've learned a lot more, so I kind of want to do a bit of a revision, not just a copy-paste thing. I also want to talk about goals, more specifically, change your opinion, hopefully, when it comes to goals and help us switch focus from goal setting to our systems. I think that a name that we mention a lot here on the podcast, that James Clear, the author of Atomic Habits, really laid that out so well in the book, and it's meant so much to me personally that I think it'll really help you, and I want to dive into that deeper. I'm even looking at bringing my wife on to do some Q&As. I know a few people have really wanted to hear us talk relationships. I had someone try to bait me even to talk about finances because they know I have some pretty strong opinions when it comes to that. So many things to get to, but today I wanted to share a talk that I did actually a few years back. It was quite a few years for a youth group on God's faithfulness. Now, you're about to hear baby Terry, so fair warning there. My voice sounds so different to me. It's definitely a bit cringe, but hey, it's real, it's authentic. I also talk about a certain group of people that are amazing piano players near the end, and I was listening back to it, and I was like, oh, should I, like, take this out? But, like, I think in today's day and age, it could maybe come across as offensive to some, but hear my heart, this is me saying that. I totally meant it as a compliment. The reason, though, I thought it would be good to play this for you is because in it, I share a few personal testimonies of God's faithfulness in my own life. And recently, I don't know about you, but there have been definitely some challenges, whether it be financial stress, you know, caused from inflation or the pandemic or lack of job or whatever, you know, whether it be relationships with people, relationships with God. A lot of us, myself included, have taken a few hits, but you know what? We're not going to stay down, which is why today I wanted to remind myself and all of us that God is faithful. God is so faithful and is good to be with us. So I hope you enjoy. Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's going to be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast, but it's something in common. Good luck to you. Seacrest out.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Okay, I'm looking around. There's a few people here who wear glasses. I wear glasses. I left mine at home. That's why I'm kind of going a little bit close to my notes sometimes. But the weird thing about that is 2 years ago, I didn't even wear glasses. I actually had 20/20 vision. And then I remember one day I was driving on the 400, which is a pretty scary place to be if your vision's bad. But and I don't know what I was doing. I think I was just like fooling around. I don't know why. Maybe I was like winking at like someone in a car or something. But I was like going like this and like that. And I noticed that when I closed my right eye, the vision in my left eye was a lot worse than the vision in my right eye when I like closed my left eye. So I was like, man, what in the world is going on? It was kind of frustrating. It caught me like it came out of nowhere. And then I'm like, okay, fine. So I'll book an appointment. I went to the optometrist and she's like, hey, like everything seems to be fine with your eyes. Like, are you sure there's something like wrong? I was like, no, like I'm here for fun. I'm just here to hang out with you or whatever. And she's like, okay, fine. Like, I'll send you to a specialist. And I remember I went to the specialist and he's looking at my eye again. He's like, everything's fine with your eye. Like, I don't understand what's going on. But he's like, you know what? It could be this one condition. And I'm like, of course, there's always that one condition. So he sent me to another specialist downtown Toronto who looked at my eye, and he was a cornea specialist, and he looked, and apparently I had this rare condition called keratoconus. And basically your eye, there's like a thin layer of skin at the top of it. And it's like flat. It's like obviously like flat to your eye. So obviously your eye's like an egg shape. But mine, it came to like a bit of a bulge, which meant that even though my eye is completely fine and it should be healthy, I could only see clearly through about a pinhole, and then everything else is blurry in one of my eyes. And so he said, actually,
I was like, oh, that's really weird. And then he stopped and he looked at me. He's like, actually, you are going to go blind if we don't treat this right away in both of your eyes, because it was progressing so rapidly. And so that kind of, you know, I'm usually kind of like a happy-go-lucky, sarcastic person to a fault. And I remember I was just like, oh, like, wow, that's pretty serious. And I remember he said, okay, so we're going to try to book you in. But the good news is that the Canadian government just opened up a study on that, and it would be $20,000 to get this surgery done. But he's like, now it's going to be absolutely free, but you're one of the only people to be able to participate in this. There's only like 150 spots. So I was just blessed by that. And we had to book a few days, a day before, then the surgery, and then the day after. So I remember I go in for the consultation, and I'm talking with the nurse, and she comes to me. And once again, I'm just being all happy-lucky. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And she's like, I'm good. Please sit down. I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be one of these meetings. And I sat down with her, and she's like, I just want you to know, like how serious this is. And because of the nerve endings and how many there are in your eyes, this will probably be one of the most painful experiences that you'll go through, because there's not really much we can do for your eye when you're having this type of surgery. She's like, and then like, as if I did not understand, she proceeded to keep telling me how bad it was. She's like, we've had women who've come in and said, hey, this was a lot more painful than even giving birth to children. So now here I am, I'm like thinking, I'm like, okay, like childbirth, my eyes, I'm confused. It's early in the morning. It's not good. Anyway, I know, seriously, I'm thinking that. I'm like, oh no, this is bad, man. What's going on? You're just rocking my world. And she said, so I just want you to know, because after you do this surgery, a lot of people call the ambulance, because from 0 to 10, it's going to be 10 out of 10 pain. And I just want you to know what's coming. So then you don't you don't call the ambulance or anything, because you just have to ride it out and move forward. So I'm like, whew, deep breath. Okay, we'll move forward into that. And so then I remember I had to do the show that night. And I went into my radio show and I did it, and people just decided to start praying for me. And they were just praying. I remember by the end of the show, I just felt this peace just come over me completely. And I remember just being like, feeling like there were prayers all around me, surrounding me. Next day I go, I'm waking up early, and I just felt this peace. And I ended up going to have the surgery. And it's weird because they can't put you under when you're having eye surgery. So like I'm looking as like the guy's playing like Iron Chef America with my eyeball, and it's like a little freaky. And he's like talking about his boat or something to the assistant. And I'm like, okay, like this is funny, but like, okay, like you're slicing dice in my eye. Okay. And anyway, so that finished, and I went back to my grandmother's house in Toronto. And then I remember, it just felt like, you know, like that sound sometimes with like blood rushing. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone. Like if your heart rate's up and you can kind of like, yeah. And it just, that's all I could hear. But then I knew I just need to fall asleep, and I did. And it turns out that I ended up experiencing 0 out of 10 pain level. I experienced no pain whatsoever. And I just really felt the prayers just be with me in that time. And then the next day I go back, and the guy who had a surgery right before me, he experienced all of the pain. And I just think that just the faithfulness of God was just there. I just saw it so clearly. It was interesting though, because sometimes when we think about the faithfulness of God, you know, we think of these big situations that are happening, like, oh man, I had this test and like, I just felt like I remembered everything, and God is faithful. But what I was going to say that, and the point that I'm trying to make, is with this eye surgery, it happened so fast. It was the situations that come out of nowhere that sometimes just catch us so off guard. You know, we're just going by and we can't prepare for these things. We're just moving forward, and all of a sudden something pops up. And then I just wanted to, you know, just remind you, encourage you guys that God is still faithful in those things as well, even the unexpected things. Another thing, I remember my girlfriend recently, it's a few weeks ago, she's like, hey, do you want to go to a concert? I'm like, yeah, let's go to a concert. And she's like, well, it's like spoken word. I was like, what? No, I don't want to go to that. And has anyone here been to like a spoken word thing before? It's weird. Yeah, it's like rapping, but like, it's like poetic rapping. So I was like, no, I don't. No, but it's like poetry. No, it's weird. It's like, well, it's spoken, hence the name spoken word. So it's very unusual. Anyway, so I remember, I was like, okay, fine, I'll go. So if anyone's in a relationship, you understand the power that, you know, your significant other has over you. If you're not, I'm warning you, you know, choose the right person, because it's a dangerous power they have. So I find myself going to this place, and it's like, I don't know how to say it. It's like in such a ghetto neighborhood. So I'm like, okay, here we go. And I walk into this place. There's actually a lot of people. There's about 2,500 people at this venue, which is very unusual. But I remember just before the concert, before they let us in, I started really not feeling right. You know, sometimes you're just at a place, you're just like not feeling good. And you're like, man, I don't really want to be here right now. Just starting to feel a little bit sick. And I remember I was waiting. And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, hey, turn around and just have some conversation with the people around you. So I'm like, okay. I turn around and start to have conversation, and that feeling just completely leaves me. All that to say that God is faithful, and I saw his faithfulness in another way. He's faithful even in the little things, like the things that seem insignificant. I know people think, oh, God's faithful, you know, with what school I need to go to, or with my job, or with my family, or these huge situations. But also just to realize that he's faithful even in the things that seem insignificant in your day-to-day life. It's funny. I've learned to really hold God, you know, to his promises that he has in his word, you know, and just know that he is good and faithful even to perform his word as well. I don't really look at his word anymore. I used to, and it was such a mistake, as something nice. You know, I don't know where you guys are with your walk, you know, and reading the Bible and stuff, but I used to read it and be like, okay, like this is great. This is entertaining at best. But now I realize that there's so many things, and it is powerful, you know, and the word of God can really transform your situation, whatever the situation might be. I remember just really holding on to that. There was a time when I used to have trouble sleeping. I don't know if you've ever had trouble sleeping before. Like it's common. I was just like, I couldn't fall asleep. And then I would suffer from fear when I was younger due to some other things that we don't have time to get into. But I remember then the Holy Spirit showed me a scripture verse in Psalm 4 verse 8. When you're home, maybe look it up if that's something you struggle with. And it's the psalmist talking about, you know, how he will watch over us and give us a peaceful, restful sleep. That's the Terry Molinaro translation. But essentially, you know, that I will fall asleep and I will have a restful and a peaceful sleep. So, yeah, I learned to do that, and I would claim that, and then I'd have a peaceful, restful sleep. And I just noticed this pattern in my life. How I learned, though, was by walking into what God had for me, no matter how hard it was, and seeing that he was faithful. So it's funny, sometimes we expect these things just to happen. Like, okay, when God shows up and he makes a way, then I'll walk into whatever it is I have. But quite the contrary, it's like you walk into what he has for you, and then you notice that he is faithful, and he'll get you through regardless. There's this one time, and I'm flipping my page, which means that I'm almost done. But there was this one time when there was a competition. I played the piano, just like Pastor Andrew does. And it was about 6 years ago, and I won a competition for my area. So I went to the other competition where the people that won the competition went. It's kind of confusing, but it was just the people from all the areas who won together. So like the best were there, and like their teachers were there, and all these people were there. And I don't know, do we have any piano players in the house? Do you guys play? You go, okay, yeah, you're kind of like, eh, try to know where middle C is, but that's good, okay, keep working on it. Anyway, so you guys will probably understand what I'm saying, yeah, a little bit, that no matter how good of a piano player you are, there's always going to be a five-year-old Asian who's way better than you. Like, it doesn't matter, okay? Like, I went to this competition, and I felt like they're like grandparents. I'm sitting down, and I kid you not, there's a row of people, Asian kids who are like half my height. They're just sitting there, and I'm like, oh, this is awkward. But being like a radio person, I decided to go up on stage and make a joke. So I like went up there and I was like, oh, this is going to be funny. I was like, well, I've never felt so old in my life. And there was one guy in the back of the room who was like, and then everyone looks at him like, shh, why are you laughing? And I was like, oh, it's really awkward. And I kind of like, it was really awkward. You could hear like a pin drop. You guys know what I'm talking about, piano recitals, you know? It's like really awkward. I don't like that stuff. But anyway, I remember I sat down at the piano, and it kind of psyched me out a little bit, and I didn't even know where to start. Like, I didn't even know the first note. I didn't know, like, I knew the song, obviously, I was playing, but I didn't know where to start. But then I remembered back, sorry?
Probably at the beginning.
Yeah, seriously. But I remember, though, like, I couldn't remember where the first note was at the beginning of the song. And then I remember God said, hey, when you go forward into this, you're going to do good. So I stopped, and I said, you know what? There's nothing that I can do but good, because God already said that. And I remember that he's faithful once again. And I still didn't know, though, where to place my hands. And I think that point I want to make is, hey, sometimes we want to jump the gun, you know? And sometimes, even though God said he was going to do something, we want to kind of jump before God. And I think that if I would have just randomly just like put my hands on the piano and started playing, it would have sounded terrible, right? But I waited, and then all of a sudden the first note jumped into my head. So I placed my hands, and then I started first, second, and I went through it. Long story short, I did fantastic. I did good, just like God said I would. And that's just his faithfulness once again, because I look back and I realize and I remembered that he said I was going to do good. And if he says it, you know it can happen. Recently, we were at a retreat over the weekend, and Pastor Andrew might remember this. We had someone from our staff talk about boasting in his weaknesses and knowing that, hey, like I can boast in my weakness because through my weakness, God is made strong and he helps me within that. I remember I look at my time at Life 100.3. Like, I never wanted to do radio. It was something that God called me to, so I walked in that. So when I started, I wasn't just, like, on and having a good time. I was so, so bad that it's so funny that I want to share some stories really quickly. The first one, I remember, so to play music, we have, like, a board, kind of like a mixer, and it, like, controls different volume levels. I remember when I was training with this guy, my hands were, like, above the board. I was, like, so nervous. I was, like, shaking my hands. He's just looking at me like, bro, are you okay? I was like, no, I'm not okay. Another time, I remember right before I go on air, my boss calls me, the phone rings. I'm like, hello? And he's like, hey, can you try not to sound like a girl tonight? I was like, his name's Steve Jones, and please remind him of that story if you ever see him and tell him that that's very mean. Because what would happen, I'd get so excited that I'd be like, hey, what's going on? My name is Terry Molinaro, and I'm so excited. And oh my gosh, I love it. And my voice would go up and up and up. So he's like, hey, can you try not to sound like a girl tonight? I was like, as my intro is playing, I'm like 10 seconds from going on the air. I was pretty bad. And then last example I want to share in the story. I remember the phone rings, my very first phone call. And it's like, we have this kind of like a strobe light. So whenever someone calls in the studio, it's like, bling, bling, bling. It's kind of like a rave party. It goes off in the left-hand side. Anyway, so what happens with that is I remember I look at the phone like I never saw a phone ring before. And I'm like, I look at the guy who's training. He's like, what do I do? Like, and he's like, well, answer it. I was like, oh, okay. So I answer the phone and I'm like, Lifelines, hello. But my voice was high. So I was like, Lifelines, hello. And I answer it and he's like, hey. And I was like, hey, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm just reading. And then I don't know what went through my mind, but for some reason I thought it'd be a great thing to yell back at him. So I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm reading. So I yell back, it better be the Bible. And then I'm like, What am I saying? Where did that come from? And this guy's just like, and it just goes silent on the line. He's like, no, and just hangs up the phone. I was like, oh my gosh, like why? That's so bad. But so many times I feel like I'm up against something I can't handle, or it's a new experience that like pushes me out of my comfort zone. I know that sounds ridiculous, but you try being in a radio and the phone calls, it's just weird, man. However, time and time again, God's going to guide me. You know, he'll tell me I can do it. Then I move forward into it and accomplish it. Why? Because I look back once again and notice that he is faithful. Quickly before I close, I want to talk though the problem that a lot of us find, the problem that keeps us from just knowing how faithful God is. And the problem with that is we fill our minds with so much stuff that's not great. You know, we allow the world and social media, the people around us, to tell us what we can and cannot do, and maybe read the Bible for 5 minutes a week. And, you know, we wonder why we don't trust God to do what he said he would, or we wonder why we don't have this weight, from the Word or in the Bible or what that even says, or even do we even know the scriptures and the promises that are in there for us. There's a guy who asked me, he's a good friend of mine, and he asked me to be an accountability partner for him for something. And I said, yeah, sure. Like, I'll do that for you. And then what happened is I was driving to him because I was going to give him, I don't know, some advice. And I was like, God, like, I don't know. I don't know what to say to this guy. You got to give me the wisdom because I'm not sure what I can do. And then he just gave me this idea. It just came into my head. And so when he came to me, I said, get me a white piece of paper. And he got it to me. And I said, okay, leave your phone here. Do not turn on a computer. I want you to go in a room by yourself. And I want you to write down every single scripture verse that you have memorized. And so he's like, okay. And so he goes and it's about 8-10 minutes. And he comes back and he's about to show me the piece of paper. And I say, no, I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Turn it around. I want you to look at that. You spend 24/7 365, just being inundated, watching TV, watching social media with all of these things going through your head, hearing your friends talk, and all the negativity that comes into your mind, what you have on that piece of paper is all that you have in your mind to be able to push that out. And he just stopped and he got it right away. He was like, oh man, like, That's so true. And for that, all I would say is, like, we need to be people who are getting into the Bible, you know, getting into prayer. So when things come up against us, we could say, hey, I remember that promise in the Word. God is faithful to get me through these things. God, I know all this crazy stuff is going on around me, but I know God is faithful and we can move it forward. Maybe you're here tonight even, and you feel like God is far away from you. I was actually talking with one of my trainers at the gym and today, and he was talking like this. He's an atheist. We're working on him, but I remember he was just talking to me like God is just so far away, you know, just kind of funny for an atheist to say. But he felt like he just did something that God could never forgive him of. I want to show you a different side of God's faithfulness quickly. For some reason, there's a chapter in the Bible that just stands out to me, Isaiah 57. It's not a famous chapter. It's not like preached on very often from what I've heard. But essentially, I believe the subtitle of the actual chapter is called Israel's Idolatry. And it talks about all the things that Israel's done, witchcraft, sacrificing children, like all these other sins that like aren't great, all these terrible things. Like, that's crazy. Sacrificing children, like that's nuts. They're not even trying to like get rid of this evil. They're just giving into it. It talks about, you know, they were weary, but then they found like hope once again. And then they kept on sinning and kept on moving forward. And I love it. It goes 17 verses like this. But then in verse 18, we get a glimpse of God. And I love this. So he lists all these things. He says, I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. I'll lead him and restore comfort to him and his mourners. It goes on to say, peace, peace to the far and to the near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. So tonight, let me encourage you, you know, sometimes when we think of God's faithfulness, we think of these big events that are happening in our life. Like, man, like I know if I pray, God will be faithful to help me with this exam, or God will be faithful to help me and show me, I don't know who I'm supposed to marry or date one day. But God is also faithful in those situations, but also to forgive as well. It's funny, there's so many people that I know, Christians, who say like, man, they just pick on people's sins and say, oh, look at what they do. They can never be forgiven. And to that, I'm saying like, oh my gosh, I've sinned as well. You know, who are we to judge people's sin, right? God is still faithful to forgive us no matter where we've gone, what we've done. And I think that is just such a testimony to him. So once again, God's faithful not only to come through for you when you're having a tough time, God's faithful not only to help you, you know, to accomplish what he's promised for you and your life, but God's also faithful to forgive you of everything you've ever done, no matter how hard it might be for you to believe that. You know, it's not about what we do. It's about who he is, and he's faithful. Let's close it off with some prayer. Dear God, I thank you. I thank you, you know, for your word. You know, it really is amazing. I spoke about that, God, and I pray that we get into it more, that we would no longer look at it as just stories. We would look into it and say, man, this is something I can claim and I can speak into being in my life. I can claim a peaceful sleep, Lord God, or I can claim that I'm not filled with a spirit of fear. God, I pray that as we go forward into our schools tomorrow, or as we go into our workplaces or hanging out with friends, that we just remember who you are, and that we will remember that it doesn't matter what happens, what's happened in our past, what's going on, or what's going to happen, you're still faithful to see us through it and walk with us every single time. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.